Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens. We've got a full cast this morning. The room is full.
It really is.
With us,
I've never seen this many people in here.
Yeah, I like it. With us, as almost always,
Gary Michaels.
Good day.
Gary, it's good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we brought in some hockey knowledge here with Evan Stofflett.
Thanks for having me back again. I'm kind of digging this new little...
Yeah, we like having you.
Yeah.
Gary and I know so much.
What?
We know very little. We only know so much. I wanted to say we know so much, but very the good. Truth is we only know so much. So when we get into actual hockey knowledge, we're going to defer.
Okay.
All right.
See what I can come up with.
Still if you don't know, just make stuff up.
That works.
I like doing that. Because I'll believe it. Don't worry.
Easy enough.
Special guest today, we have Mike Brennan. And Mike, you and I have been friends forever.
It's probably going on 30 years.
Yeah. I've met 30
plus,
in high school.
30 plus years.
Yeah. So I've known you for a good long time. We talk about hockey families here all the time. We had Jordan Parise in here, and you know, he's got a hockey family, and a lot of people have hockey families. But when it comes to Utah, you're multiple generations here.
Yeah.
And I want to get into all of that, and hopefully we have enough time to cover most of it. But I want to start with in what most people will know as the beginning for you. And that'll be, or not for you, but for them, knowing the Brennans, is Hockey Haven.
Oh, yeah. My mom had Hockey Haven for a little over 17 years here in Salt Lake, and she eventually ended up deciding to close it down due to just mass influx due, you know, online shoppings and things like that and stuff like that. It just...
Well, a lot of that's killed a lot of mom-and-pop shops, right? And that's one thing that it sucks as a hockey player to... Man, there's just doesn't matter where you live. The mom and pop shops, even like Minnesota or like in the hockey heartlands, the mom and pop shops are going out.
Yeah, that was like the greatest hockey shop too.
Oh yeah,
it seriously was. It was. That was my first hockey shop I ever went to.
She stocked everything that she possibly could to make sure that she had what was needed for every player out there that was here in Salt Lake, and she knew. I would say 95% of the players that were out there, senior league and youth leagues and stuff like that. If it was a youth player, she knew the kid's size when he came into the when he came into the store. She was there 5-6 days a week.
Wow.
So, I mean, she was a big part of it. She really enjoyed it. She really enjoyed helping the kids out. And you know, if you ask anybody, you know, hockey equipment sales are not the ultimate money maker and things like that and everything. So, I mean, she really wanted to keep the store around to, you know, to accommodate her employees' hockey schedules because a lot of them at the time were going to school, doing different things like that. And, you know, we're still young enough playing high school or playing travel league or something like that, that, okay, so-and-so is going to be out of town for a tournament this weekend. I need to have somebody else come in and cover for him. And then, you know, so then he's got a game here or a practice here, so he's going to leave at this time. And
she ran the whole store. That's awesome because run everything around hockey players, store for hockey players, by hockey players.
Yeah.
So why did that all start? So were you – I just learned this a second ago. You were in hockey before she started the –
Yeah, I've been playing hockey for probably about two and a half years and was, you know, really involved in it and going to different camps out of state, out of country and stuff like that, going up to Canada, the camps, and seeing their selections up there and how many stores you could walk into up there and coming down into Salt Lake, there was really one store at the time. And her and my dad and another gentleman had decided that, named Brett Cook, had decided that they were going to look at opening up a hockey store. And
wow.
Next thing you know, they bought, you know, rented a spot on Wilmington Avenue in Sugar House and just a little teeny tiny store and started stocking it. And it just kind of took off from there. She altogether had three total locations on the same street in Wilmington, but everyone just got a little bit bigger than the one before.
How did you get into hockey?
I went with a friend to go and sign up for football when I was seven or six and a half, seven. And I wasn't old enough to sign up. You know, I was big enough and everything. Yeah. They were excited when they saw me come walking up, and then to find out that I wasn't old enough, you know, their big thing was, well, you can do it next year. Well, this friend of mine, he played hockey too and stuff like that. He'd grown up living in Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden hockey season came around and started talking about it, and played street hockey in the neighborhood numerous times with him and everything like that, and had a lot of fun doing that. And his family says, well, why don't you play hockey? And of course, well, I'm not old enough. And they says, they don't have an age restriction.
Uh-huh.
So I immediately went home and told my mom that I could go play hockey because they didn't care how old I was. And it just kind of went off from there. I mean, my first time skating was at Hygieia, Iceland, off of, you know, 2100 South and just about, you know, 12th East or something like that back then. And that was, I was sold ever since then. I mean, I've never had any ambition to really want to play any other sport. It was just, hockey became a year-round event for me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when the ice melted, I was, you know, it was street hockey. And then, you know, there was never not hockey involved in my life growing up. And all my friends did the same thing, you know. It was just something you can incorporate the entire neighborhood in with.
Absolutely. Well, that's how I got into it, too, was playing street hockey. I'd go over to skate half pipe or quarter pipe because I was a skateboarder at Jeremy Miller's house.
Yep.
And they had hockey sticks, and they're like, hey, play hockey.
Yeah, church parking lot, man.
Yeah.
Roller hockey. It was awesome.
Yeah. Tons of fun. I mean, and that's what happens, right? You just, so somebody introduces it to you, and then it takes over your whole life.
Exactly. I mean,
and everyone else involved close to you.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole family has to kind of pool in with it, so it's fun.
I did that when I first got hired on the fire department. I'm like, at my first station, I'm a hockey player, and they're like, okay, we don't understand hockey, and we'd watch a game, and then I'd take the dry erase marker and put it on the board. I'm drawing, like, all right, this is all right, here's the blue line, and this is why offsides exist. It's a key to the door. You know, you have to explain what the puck is and how, like, and then, like, in your first rotations right out of recruit camp, you get 3 months at a station. By the end of that 3 months, that entire crew and I were on a roller hockey team together, and some of those guys still play. That was kind of the birth of Guns N' Hoses and stuff, too, is that, man, I was on the department for 3 months, and boom, I've got 9 guys playing hockey.
Yeah.
And now those guys still play. Like I said, it's like a freaking infestation.
Well, it's something that it's a sport that you can play as long as you're able to get out and skate. I mean, you look and see some of these YouTube videos that they have these guys that are showing up that are, you know, guys going out at, you know, 92 years old and stuff like and wheeling, you know. I mean, 92 years old, it's like, dude, I hope I can move that well at 92, even off the ice. I mean, I just want to be able to move like that.
And if you can, it's probably because you've been playing that entire time.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's going to keep you – it doesn't keep you young, but it keeps your body.
Well, it keeps your joints moving.
Yeah.
It's something that you use everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, first and foremost, with the level that you play and stuff, it's – something you need to have full control of every part of your body.
Yeah, a guy that I played with in Utah, Andy Sertich, his grandpa, has kind of become a cult hero. I forget how old he is, but, I mean, he's, I think, mid-90s maybe, in the newspaper every year, kind of does a thing, and still skates every morning, and becomes a lifeblood for people.
Yeah, and we have Paul. I can't remember Paul's last name, but every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he's at the Murray Rink. Pulls up, parks in the handicap spot, moseys into the arena, throws on the skates, and then gets out there. And, you know, when we don't have enough guys show up, because he'll go and he'll do the warm-up and he'll do that stuff, and he's great, man. It's so great to see him out there. And he's got to be mid-80s. And
wow. He's inspiring.
He's there every day. Yeah.
I have a goal to go for.
Yeah. Well, and Gunter Manick was the same way. He was playing and playing. I'd see him at the rink all the time. Brandon Manick's grandfather.
Yeah.
He was out there all the time too. So it's, it is one of those things. You just get to You know, hopefully. And that is the rarity, because you can't do that with football. There aren't enough football leagues to play when you're an adult. And baseball becomes softball. And who wants to play softball? Nobody. Right?
Well, yeah.
I know I'm going to get emails over that one. But
no, yeah. I was going to say, well, look out.
Save it. I stand by it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, okay. So you started playing. You make the... Your parents decide, all right, your mom decides, I'm going to open the store. She opens the store. Now you guys are the hub. And now you, like you said, your mom knew everybody. I got to, when I first started playing hockey, my sophomore year in high school, I remember going, like, getting in. We sloughed school one day at Murray High, jumped in Brett Jendrica's truck, drove to Hockey Haven. And it just clicked now when you're like, oh, I started skating at Hygieia, because I was always wondering, like, why is the only hockey shop clear in Sugar House? Mm-hmm. Because there used to be a rink right there.
Right? Well, there
I never skated there. I played indoor soccer there, but it wasn't a rink when I played. So now it makes sense to me. That's how smart I am. I just figured it out just now.
That's where I learned to skate then. Hygieia.
Yep.
You skated at Hygieia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. So anyway, I remember going up there, and then, you know, I didn't have enough money to actually buy goalie equipment, but your mom was like, oh, if you need goalie equipment, she like literally got in the want ads with me. She showed me in the newspaper, and I found a set of the old brown colored Cooper leg pads. Your mom showed them to me in remember want ads? Do you remember, Evan? Did you ever see want ads?
I remember seeing them, but I never really utilized them.
Well, people used to. Yeah, that's where I got my first set of goalie equipment. The first time I tried out for Murray High, I borrowed Jeff Tavey at the time. What's his last name now? Jeff Elwell. I borrowed his equipment, and then your mom, instead of, you know, she could have tried to sell me something at the store, but she's like, oh, no, you need to do this. And we found a get like a full set for $80.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible gear. Like, welts every time I played. Because it was old then, and that was, you know.
Well, even back then, the goalie equipment was not all that stellar. I mean, a lot of the times you just had a catcher's chest protector on.
Yep, and that's exactly what I had.
That's right. And like the cotton. A t-shirt with double filled with cotton. And I mean, man, those. And I remember, because that's before when I played, when I was a defenseman, before I decided, you know, in men's league to switch over to playing goalie. And I never forget being like, oh, and I always wanted to do that. And now I sit there thinking, I'm like, why did I want to go and be pelted like that? Now I know why so many of my friends that grew up playing goalie don't play goalie anymore. They're like, I'm not playing. Dude, you'd love these new uppers that they have.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
It's a lot different going from those two-piece chest pads that just left huge welts. Well, I remember. So it was my junior year, and that's when I was at Shattuck, and I was there that summer, and Todd Nate was there too, and Todd's brother was there too.
Nice.
And I was there and doing a camp, and like 4 minutes in, I had two deep bone bruises where I couldn't even close my hands anymore from taking shots off that two-piece of crap chest pad I had. And they pulled me aside and they were like, hey, you need real equipment. Like, this isn't going to work. This might work in Utah, but you can't be here in that stuff.
Yeah, you have softer pucks here, right, in Utah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that was the start of my Brian's obsession. Is I got a set of Brian's from the Golden Eagles. And again, your mom might have brokered that deal too. Like, I don't know how I would have known anybody back then, but somebody made a phone call for me, and I got equipped. I came back home. The camp was over. I came back home, picked up a full set from Brian Patafi, and went back and finally had equipment that, like, kept me from getting deep bone bruises. Because, man, that old equipment was horrible.
Yeah. Your mom's awesome, though. Because, like, when we first went there, me and my two buddies, Niels and Kent, we just picked up hockey.
Yeah.
She was like, okay, we're going to put together a team. And so she totally set us up with some jerseys. She got the logo made for the Rat Pack, and we still use it today. And I still have those jerseys, man. And she's just great peeps.
She was a master of figuring out a way to sponsor teams and get jerseys in for people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And figure out how to write things off and stuff like that, so that she didn't, you know, keep the cost down for the players, and I mean it did.
Because it's not like normal retail, like you said. Right. There's not a huge markup in hockey equipment. It's already expensive,
right.
And then the stores don't make a ton. And then your mom, you know, Hockey Haven was on everybody's jersey or whatever. They had some way of sponsoring. Your parents, your mom made a way to make stuff work. Like, we talk about it all the time in here. People give back to the sport. Like you get to a point where you're like, look, I can give that kid that can't play my old gear or whatever.
Oh yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean. And everybody, you know, growing up, they're always like, well, you've always got new gear because mom had a hockey store. And it's like, well, they never realized that I was growing so fast that I was growing out of the gear. So it wasn't that I just got the newest gear because she had the shop. It's like I got the newest gear because I grew out of my stuff that I'd only got like 5 months before.
Well, I remember the same thing. Our two kids are about this. Robbie's a year older than my son,
so, right?
But Robbie had some pretty good growth spurts. But I remember you and I, like one summer, we're ordering equipment, and then by Christmas, both of our kids had outgrown their gear. I'm like, man,
dang it,
that's so expensive. You got to slow down, or you know, just learn to eat some pucks.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing, I was all excited and. Hey, pads aren't as expensive as they were, and then all of a sudden you says, hey, man, hey, I haven't hit adult size yet. And I says, what's that? And he said, I'll never forget you looking at me saying, Robbie's next set is adult size. I went, oh.
It's like the skates, too.
And then it went every year after that. It was like he wouldn't grow, and all of a sudden then you're just looking at his knee cradle, and it's like, well, by time next season hits, he's going to be out of those, and I better start to look to order them now. And I'd have people. Well, you would, same thing with Tegan.
Yep.
We'd have people come up, and we'd have our kids in brand new gear coming out to practice, and you'd have the next group younger than us parents coming up and saying, we'll give you half of what you paid for that gear. And it's like, well, I just got it. Yeah, but they're both going to be out of it by next year. So, you know, I want dibs on it now.
And I had one of the few full right goalies, too. So there were certain parents that stalked Deegan because they're like, as soon as he outgrows that, because not many kids catch with their right hand.
Right.
So, yeah, you had the parents that just basically you knew I knew where Tegan's gear was going next. Those parents.
You knew, I had the swarm come in.
Stocking the equipment.
Yeah, and it got expensive. So, yeah, she ran that for 17 years. Another thing I remember, you guys had a 1-800 number.
Yeah.
And John Kuechel, who was one of my best friends, worked there.
Awesome.
And it was so nice because when I moved away and I was in junior college at North Dakota, like to call somebody, I had a girlfriend at the time, but to call somebody, you'd have to take like a row of quarters to the payphone, and that's 3 minutes worth of conversation, right? Or if I timed it right, I could just call John at Hockey Haven on the 1-800 number, and other people could just drop in, and I could catch up with all the Utah people for free.
That's fantastic.
That was one of the tricks we used. All right, so you grew up playing, stores there for 17 years, but when I started playing in high school, where were you? Because you were here for a minute, and then you were gone.
I played here through up to my sophomore year, and then I went back to Northwood School in Lake Placid, New York, and played for 3 years back there, and graduated from high school back there and stuff and played, but our school was situated up. We had, you know, well, they call them, you know, postgraduate seniors, a senior that had graduated already and came back. So our age group for our teams were our JV played New York State High School varsity, and our varsity played JV college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we'd play against, you know, Cornell JV, St. Lawrence JV, things and stuff like that, because we'd had seniors that were out of high school age.
You had 19-year-old seniors.
19-year-old seniors that were out of high school age and stuff like that. So they didn't authorize or allow them to play in the New York State High School Association and stuff like that.
Oh, that's weird. You don't hear about that much anymore. That's still big in Sweden.
Right.
And other countries. I know there were a few of our high school kids that had that opportunity. But there's West Point has that. West Point has a prep academy for those that didn't get into West Point but they think are going to get in eventually. Mm-hmm. And they have all their sports teams. And I'm like, well, who do you play? If you're not a college, it's like a prep academy.
Right.
But it's all kids that have graduated. They're like basically super seniors.
Mm-hmm. They have that in New England.
They do?
When I was coming up, a lot of junior players that were out there at, like, say, Taft, they would have their post-grad year, and some would stay and play for the their prep school team, or they would come and then filter into juniors, because that was obviously, you could be 21 before Christmas, I think,
Whoa.
To play that. So there was always, I went to school with a lot of guys that played a post-grad year instead of playing juniors. And
wow. Shattuck just held everybody back. That was like, because that was one of the things. When I went there, I was a junior, but when I started at Shattuck, I was a sophomore.
Yeah, when I went back to Northwood School, I repeated my sophomore year again and stuff like that when I went back there. But the thing is I, at the time and stuff like that, it really helped me out to be able to excel better and get me a better grasp on everything I needed to go forth with it. I think that if I wouldn't have done that, it would have, it just gave me more mental and emotional development from, especially, you know, being out 2,500 miles away from home for your first time and stuff like that. The last thing you want to do is really struggle with school, because that makes it that much worse when you've got to call your parents up and they're like, oh, well, how's school? Not so great. Oh,
yeah. Is that why I'm here? The hockey's good.
School? Yeah, hockey's great, man. I love the scenery and stuff, but
school, not so much. So, but, all right, Phil, clue me in here. Didn't we play against each other in a state championship?
I played, the only state championship I played here was with Brighton against Highland High School, and we lost.
Okay.
I had, at that time then, Highland High School had Chris Thomas, Scott Levy, Jeff Levy, Robert Van Osdale. They had a full lineup of...
There were other brothers there, too.
All-star teams and stuff like that, I think.
I'm trying to think. I remember that team.
But they were the team that they were to be reckoned with and everything like that to try to beat. And, yeah, I'll never forget. Yeah, we lost 4-1 in the championship game.
I remember playing against those guys. This is so cocky and so dumb of me. But we're getting ready, and they're like, all right, Chris Thomas this and Chris Thomas that. And I tell the team, I'm like, look, you guys take care of everybody else. I'll take Chris Thomas as the goalie. Like, I'll handle this. No. Like, he just lit me up. Who am I even to say that? I've been playing – at that minute, I'd played 15 games in my life, and now I'm playing against this Chris Thomas, who went on to play in the USHL. And he played NCAA for a minute, right?
Yeah, I think he might have done there for a little bit and stuff like that. But I know that he's back around here now, and – He's played some men's league, but I think he just kind of...
He got a pretty long ban
and
had to disappear for a while. And we've talked about that on the show before. He got a tomahawk chop ban.
Whoops.
On...
Yeah.
Well, and it's on Trevor Lewis's dad.
Oh.
And that's... Yeah, so but... You know, stuff happens. People react, and you take the sentence.
Poor judgment calls on things like that, you know? But in the heat of the moment, I mean... We've all had that feeling that we want to turn around. It's like, oh, if I could just wrap this around your head right now.
Well, okay, let's play it back to, let's say that I think that happened in the early 90s. So those of you guys who grew up watching hockey in the early 90s were watching mid-80s hockey, where that was just kind of like, that's just what you did. You smacked somebody with your stick.
Those sticks were no joke, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're not quite made like they are today. It was tree trunk.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, things happen. But I heard somebody mention that he might be playing again, or somebody saw him bowling and said he was going to play again, or I don't know.
I've heard that he's going to be playing again and stuff like that. I mean, I'd like to see him back out.
Yeah, me too.
You know, about a year ago, somebody posted one of our pictures of our Utah hockey all-star team and stuff, and I know that all the guys are still here in Salt Lake and stuff like that. Or I know one of them he's gone and stuff like that. Oliver Cook's not in Utah anymore, but Steve Konwalchuk's not in Utah anymore. But the thing is we've all a couple of us, Clint Colvin and I, and you know,
scared with
Sean Hansen and Brett Moore and things. We've had little talks of. you know, hey, maybe we should try to get some ice and get everybody back out together. I talked to Alex Byers it too and stuff like that.
I saw Alex Byers just recently.
Yeah, Alex is actually looking to start getting back into playing and stuff like that again. He wants to get in the net. And
yeah, I saw him outside of Def Leppard, I think, last summer when I was sitting out there with the with our REO Speedwagon for the Arrow. And then Jimmy Kilpatrick got back into it.
So we got back into it, like we said, man.
It's like herpes. Once you have hockey, it comes back.
I think what team is Kilpatrick on?
I don't know. A couple, I think.
Barname Sue.
Oh, yeah. Is it Barname Sue?
I saw him on the naughty list.
Oh yeah, that's right.
This week, he's on a suspension.
Sorry to bring it up, bro.
I'm not sure how long his suspension is, but he. From what I understand, I think he was supposed to have maybe thrown a little shot at an official.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard. I got called in to sub for him right after it happened. Yeah, they're like, hey, can you come play? That's like in the playoffs at the Oval, which I hadn't played there forever. And that was like the first time I'd actually played games. I played three back-to-back-to-back games, and they were interesting. But I get the phone call. They're like, hey, can you come sub for us? Our goalie just got suspended. We're in playoffs. I'm like, what did he get suspended for? Like, oh, he went hands-on with a ref. I'm like, oh, he's...
Yeah, you're suspended.
That'll cost.
Yeah, if you want to do any time on the suspension list, you just grab an official or do something like that. I mean,
cost price manic a couple of years, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. I mean, but the thing is, I mean, I've been guilty of screaming at officials, and I've been guilty of getting big time unsportsmanlike penalties and stuff, and you know, being a goalie, somebody else is going to go sit in the bench there for me because there's no consequences for me. I can trip, I can do whatever. Somebody else is going to go serve time.
Oh.
But you know, I've gotten to the point now that you know I have some refs that I consider pretty good friends and stuff like that. And
right.
I'll razz them, and there's the moment that they're like, hey. That's enough. I just shut up because I know the next thing that's going to happen is I'm going to get a penalty, and I've already given them enough grief by the time that they say something to me I'm like...
Yeah. They're not going to change the call or anything.
No, they're not going to change. They're not going to do anything.
Some of the wisdom that comes with getting older.
Yep. That's right.
It's not as if you're not going to see these guys come back out and ref your game here in a couple weeks or something like that anyway. It's like, go ahead and make him mad because he's going to turn around and remember that the next game. And you might not, you know, as a goalie, you might not get that quick whistle that you're really hoping for.
Yep. That's for sure. All right. So your mom ends up closing that. You come back. You played at Weber?
Yeah, I played at Weber for 2 years.
What 2 years were you there?
I was up there 90. It would have been, 96, 97, 98.
Okay.
Would have been, so yeah, the 96 through 98 season.
So right after I left.
Yeah, it would have been right up after.
But you weren't playing goal. You were still playing defense?
No, I was still playing defense.
Okay, all right.
So they'd called me up and said, you know, hey, are you interested in playing for Weber State? And it was Brad Janey had called me. And I told him, I says, man, I go, do you, because this is before I kind of understood all the rules for college and everything at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I says, do you realize I'm 26 years old? And I says, if you hit my name, you're digging deep in the archive books by this time. And, you know, I was getting ready to have my first child here coming up and stuff, and that's where my son Robbie learned how to walk and rollerblade was up at the ice sheet in Ogden because my wife would take him up there to watch my games. And And that's where he learned how to do all of his stuff. And, I mean, that's where he learned the love of hockey that he has now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we're going to talk about Robbie, too, because Robbie was at Weber last year. And he's not playing it this semester, but he will be.
Yeah, he'll be next semester. He's going back next semester and
stuff
like that.
I see him on all their posts and stuff still. We can't really talk about the Brennans, and we can't, because your dad's a huge part of hockey here, too.
Yeah.
And at the next level, I mean, we talk about helping out and sponsoring and through general distribution, that's all we can say.
Right.
Through general distribution, your family has sponsored and supported like tournaments and jerseys, and like your dad's been huge in this.
Yes.
Mike Senior.
Yeah.
Was he a hockey fan at all before, or just obsessed with it, or just got indoctrinated because of you guys?
He was a Salt Lake Golden Eagles fan.
Okay.
I mean, I remember even before I got into playing hockey and stuff like that, that he'd take me to the Golden Eagles, to the Salt Palace to go see the Eagles play and stuff like that. So
okay.
He was a fan at that level and everything, and, you know, just really enjoyed going to that. And then when I started getting into it more, he kind of turned into the super fan. I mean, he, you know, helped find, you know, when teams were coming up and needed sponsorships for establishments around the valley or something like that that would request or ask us for things, he was the first one to jump on. Oh, if it's for hockey, let's do a sponsorship. Let's sponsor jerseys. You need a home and away. And he was the guy that they needed a home and an away jersey, you know, for men's league. You had to have a home and away jersey for men's league and socks to match. I mean, I think that if he could have, he would have outfitted them with helmets to like, he wanted them to look like an NHL team walking out there. He wanted everybody to be uniform, and he was proud of that. You know, that was his thing. And when he focused on helping out even the kids or things like that that couldn't get the stuff like this, that he would do anonymous donations. And,
wow, cool.
You know, and
well, and I'm going to say this now, because I know that your dad, and I know that Bill Miller helped a guy with those anonymous donations or just paid guys' fees.
Oh, yeah.
And one of those guys is Connor Walchuk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, and I mean, so you talk about the guys that put hockey on the map, they had that ability because of people like your dad.
Yeah.
And I think we just have to point that out, because that's amazing, and that's something that just is overlooked a lot.
Yeah, well, they did it just because, you know, it wasn't because the kids were all-stars on the team, but the kids had bright futures to go along with it. And I mean, I think that my dad even saw back then, and, you know, Brian and Steve, when they were, you know, 7 and 8 years old and stuff like that, when I started playing with them, that they had bright futures and something that was going to go with their future for hockey and stuff like that. And he wanted to be, you know, not the person that gave them the whole ride along the way, but he wanted to be a stepping stone to help them get to where they wanted to go.
Yeah. Nobody makes it without help of the community.
No, right? No, exactly. And especially, I mean, the hockey community, you see with just even with how kids are now and stuff like that, you know, the people that are willing to donate the gear, collect gear. I mean,
Korth
Rebels Foundation, what he does
is
phenomenal. I mean, you know, with the setting up practices, learn to skates, things and stuff like this. What the man does, the tireless efforts that he puts in is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And you see him at every rink, too.
Oh, I mean,
all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Korth Rebels is the only men's league team that has a coach.
That's true.
I mean, in every division that he has his teams in,
he's
on their bench.
Man, it's screaming,
you gotta skate!
That's his thing. I mean, that's his thing every time.
I mean, and it's just like you're going back to when you were, you know, 13, 14 years old, and you could hear Don just screaming off the side of the bench at you and stuff. It might not be as loud now, and he might not be using some of the same verbiage that he used to.
Cleaned it up.
But, yeah, he cleaned it up, but you know what? But the thing is, as Jay said before, back in the, you know, mid-80s, late-80s, early-90s, that's how
right
you played, you were talked to, and you were coached.
Yep.
And we all adapted, and your coach would yell at you and call you some of the meanest names ever, but after that game, he'd get off the ice and take you and go buy you ice cream or buy you pizza or something like that and come up and sit down next to you and explain to you, and you felt good about it.
Yeah.
While you were making him mad.
Yeah, while you made him mad.
This is why I was yelling.
One more story, but I want to get into talking about you know, your roles helping, like, because you've coached and you've helped develop stuff. But I want to talk one more story about your dad, because this just hones in on some of the passion that he has for the game. And he became upset with how the current – well, not the current. Let's say like 10 years ago, he was upset with how the Grizzlies were being ran. And I was in a meeting. Were you there that – because I came
no,
in with the
– I wasn't on that meeting, but
– I came in with the Grizzlies, and, man – It would be nice to be in your dad's shoes every once in a while, because he unloaded on the management of the Grizzlies. And I think he rattled their cage to the point where I think they've corrected a lot of the things that he thought were wrong at the time. And maybe they haven't, but you know, I think they've tried. And your dad just held their feet to the fire in front of AEG, like the big management company that came in. That, you know, they own Staples, and they came in and they were going to take over the Maverick Center. And right in front of all these people, your dad just held their feet to the fire. I'm not going to repeat the things he said, but I was just so impressed. Because it wasn't a business decision.
Yeah.
This was a man that was passionate about hockey and thought things weren't going right and called everybody out on it, like in front of their parents. And I always wanted to thank him for it. I never got the chance to, but it was awesome.
I remember him talking a little bit about it, and the thing is he just... He sees that there's so much potential for hockey here, because when the Salt Lake Golden Eagles were here back in, you know, late 70s, when they were the, you know, CHL champions, and they were bringing in sellout standing room crowd
Yep.
only almost every game. And then they got sold off, dropped down, disappeared. And when you have a sport and it's non-existent at a professional level in a community, people lose interest in it. There's no exposure to it. You know, if you're not exposed to hockey, you're never going to know what it is, but you're going to know what soccer is, because there's 50,000 soccer fields out there. There's not a lot of ice rinks out there. So if you're exposed to hockey, and especially in a like Utah, I mean, every one of us could tell you exactly where every single ice rink is.
Oh, yeah.
And we could tell you all the restaurants around every single ice rink that there is, because after we play down here, we're going to go over here and grab something to eat, or we'll grab something to eat before we go to play. But, I mean, there, if we look at it, there's, what, 12 ice rinks altogether for – how many people that play hockey here
right.
in the state?
Well, we're sold out. The ice rinks are sold out. We need more.
Yeah, and not only that, but the thing is, it's not just the hockey that uses it, but it's the figure skaters that use it as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I would love to be able to just open hockey-specific rinks that, you know, from 2:30 on, you can run practices and leave
right.
it open as late as it needs to be to go for however it needs to go. But it would be ideal to just be able to get these kids and get the exposure out there to start it off at a young age to keep it growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's the thing is when they're shortened on their ice time, these young kids aren't developing as much as they could be, and maybe they lose a desire or a love for the game, because they don't get to spend as much time working on it as what they usually should.
Right. And then one more. I got to throw this out, too. Because another way your dad's given back is, how many guys that you grew up playing hockey with, or how many guys have Robbie grown up playing hockey with that worked either work for now and have their entire lives, or at some point have come through and worked for General?
Oh, yeah.
I have an employee, Luke Mead, that worked for my mom at Hockey Haven.
Then the moment
he turned 21, he got hired on working for me down at General Distributing.
And I feel bad for Luke, because he's going down the same path I went down. He's a hockey player, and all of a sudden his kids are playing soccer. It's like the worst scenario. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, no, but you know what? The thing is, Luke does a great job, and I mean, he's just... He's a great player too. I wish I could get him to come back out and skate again and stuff like that. But like you said, he's too busy with soccer.
Oh, that hurts! It hurts.
Sorry, Luke. Oh, but that, he's not the only one that's had that path go down. We have Todd Nate who is.
Oh yeah, well Todd's a super soccer fan though.
Todd's a super soccer fan, and the thing is he was one of the players that I'll never forget. He playing at him when we were younger, and I came in to, give him a little check on the boards and stuff like that, and how I came up, and he ended up dropping to one knee and went right between my legs. Never have lived that down.
He's funny, man.
Well, at the time then, I've been my height. I've been 6'7" since I was 16 years old.
Good
so.
Lord.
It wasn't, put on skates and stuff. It wasn't hard to, go up against your buddies that were, 5'5" and 5'6", and they can make you look like a fool real quick.
And he was quick.
Took me a little bit to gain some coordination.
And then you've got Sam Jackson too, right? Sam works for you guys.
Sam works for me. He's
Does great. He play hockey Sam's anymore?
Great. No, he when him and I traded, and he decided to play. Skate out and play D, and I decided to start playing goalie.
Yeah,
he skated about 4 games and got a slew foot and tore his meniscus and his MCL. And after that, he was kind of like, "Yeah, I've got to get up and go to work and stuff." And I can't be off having a knee injury, so
that wasn't against our team, was it?
He does a lot of golf, which he's. I don't know how he does it, and I'm sure you guys are all really good golfers.
Not me.
Not good. I enjoy it.
I enjoy going in the cart and having fun with my friends.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And replacing balls. Because I usually don't. I never finished a round with the same ball.
Oh, no. Is that possible?
No.
I don't think that's possible.
It's miniature not. Golf.
Oh. I don't even know if I've made it through miniature.
That's a good point.
All right, so now you go through. I wanted to. One thing that I've always appreciated about you is because there were times we coached against each other, and there were times that our kids were on the same team. And as goalie parents, there had been a bunch of times in my life that the other goalie parent was not supportive. And because it's like, all right, if my kid plays, your kid doesn't. But it was nice with you because you and I understood, hey, they're going to play every other game, and we might as well support them. And you were always good about it. You were always encouraging my son. I'd like to think I was always the same way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it was weird when I had a goalie that I really wanted on my team, and when I was first coaching, and I put him on my team, and the parents were like, "No, we're not going to have him stay and play with you because you're the goalie parent, and your son's going to be the other goalie, and we don't want him to go through that." And I'm like, "That's not how I am, man. It's every other game and travel, and once we get to." Championships or whatever, then I'm going to go with whomever's hot. And those two, Tegan and Weston was the other kid, they ended up becoming so compatible that before the games, before a tournament, they'd look at the schedule and be like, I want this game, you take this game. They'd pick it out, and it just took all the worry off that. But with most parents... They don't see that part of it. They don't see the camaraderie between the two goalies. They just have that, if your kid's playing, mine's not. I hope your kid gets lit up. Like, we're on the same ship, right? If my kid's getting lit up, we're losing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing is you've just got to be supportive. I mean, it's just goalie is no different than being a winger, defenseman, or a center or something like that. it is, but the thing is you've got to look at it as a parent aspect. The thing is that, there's defensemen out there, there's two out there at the time, but the thing is your kid's out on the ice and playing, you want them to be supportive, you need to be supportive of everybody. And when you're a coach, especially, even if your kid's one of the goalies on the team, you have to be honest to your team as much as it might. You've got to take the parent factor out as much as it really is one of the hardest things to do. You have to take the parent factor out to realize that you need to make sure you're looking out for what's best for the team. If your son's in for this one right now and he's what's best for the team, then that's the decision that you make and everything like that. I've had to make decisions to where, you know, my gut tells me, you know, my heart tells me he should be going in to play this game here because it's his cycle on the rotation, and my gut tells me he can't go in because he had a couple of really weak goals go in on another game or something like that. Yep. And this team that we're getting ready to come up and play is better and stronger. And maybe he's – and the thing is where it comes down to a lot is, you know, age and experience. If you're coming into two goalies playing on the same team and they're the same age, or one's the returning year
– right.
You might want to look at using that returning year. I mean, just and
the that's the whole reason they have a major minor year,
right?
And the minor year you learn as a backup, the major year you learn.
And as you know, just you've got to take it as being a goalie parent is that your kid, he gets a whole game,
right?
You know, I mean, somebody's kid could be a defenseman out there or a winger, and choke up, and have their kid get sat. You know. You didn't play good last game. You know, I'm sitting you this game. Think about how you're playing. You know, you can have a kid get sat and not get to go out and play at all.
Or yeah, or then get sat for a period and figure it out and come back
and figure it out. So I mean, the thing is that's how I. It took me a little bit at first to look at it that way.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But it took having to be a coach and make those decisions and stuff like that. But the thing is you always want to be supportive of another kid on your team.
Right.
I mean, we're all at it to win. Nobody's ever gone out and said, you know, give it your best to lose,
right,
and stuff like that. Everybody wants to go out and win a game. And that's the main thing. You support the team that's out there playing, regardless if your child's out there, no matter what, because nobody quits cheering when their kid goes off for their shift.
Right.
You know, when shift change comes up, parents are still cheering for everything going on and stuff like that. Why should it be any different that you're not cheering for the other kids?
Right.
For the other kid.
Well, you're one of the few that actually, I mean, you offered Tegan, I think he got a shutout, and you're like, hey, I'm going to buy you a shake because you got a shutout. And now every time, like, you told him, you're like, that one year we were the Renegades together, yep, you're like, every time you get a shutout, man, we're going for shakes. So yeah. I thought that was cool, and that's just it's unique, and it's refreshing. But you guys are huge supporters still. Like, we were sitting in the locker room the other day, and I hear Robbie's out playing a senior league, and I can still hear your wife in the stands cheering every time he makes a save.
Oh yeah, she definitely will not miss one of his games. It doesn't matter if it's you know, I mean, unfortunately, she didn't make as many of his junior games as she would have liked to due to, you know.
Well, he played – where was he? Where did he play juniors?
Altogether, he played in Lake Tahoe. He played in Vancouver, Washington. He played in Bremerton, Washington. He played in Cheyenne, Wyoming, Gillette, Wyoming.
Wow.
And Colorado Springs.
Man, that sounds like a life of a DJ.
So he moved around. He hit
was that all WSHL?
He had no, WSHL was just as Lake Tahoe and his Bremerton, Washington, and Cheyenne, Wyoming. But the other ones was NA3.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, cool.
Lisa's awesome, and I remember he's Michael's filled in a couple of times for our team, and you know, we're not the greatest D, obviously, as Jay played with us too and knows struggled some games, and we were struggling this game, and she's just going off on us in the stands, and I'm sitting there laughing but going, oh man. She's going to kill us after
calling
the game.
You guys out for being bad at D.
Yeah.
She tries to offer awesome. Much constructive criticism as possible.
Exactly.
She doesn't try to come off as mean. It's just,
oh, no, she wasn't.
My wife understands the game. She's been around it. Yeah. Lisa's been around it with me for, well, we've been together for almost 23 years, married for 21. She's followed everything for hockey that I've ever done. I mean, she sits at home, you know, throws center ice on as soon as, you know, as soon as the game starts playing. You know, she's asking what games are on and stuff, so we can turn around and flip the games on and watch them and everything. So she understands it, and she can tell when guys aren't putting in that 100%. And she just wants to give them that little word of encouragement to, you know, the goalie doesn't want to get shelled.
You know, so yeah. my take on that, Gary, and it's the same with yours, and Mike, as a goalie, you might feel the same. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't – if I have five forwards out and they want to go play, and I don't mind getting, like, breakaways or odd man rushes or any of that stuff as a goalie. I mean, I'm there. I want to play goalie. I want to take shots. And I'm going to do my best on every shot. And the third period is not going to be the same as the first period because I'm 46 years old.
Right.
And I can't – I try to pace myself. Exactly. And I'll drink a Red Bull. I'll do whatever I can. But as if you guys are out and you're having fun and doing whatever and maybe defense isn't your first priority, I'm fine with that. As long as if I get scored on, you don't tell me that I suck.
Exactly.
You know, or
you
whatever.
Get angry about it or right. being like, you
can't. And that it happened to me the other day. The team I'm on right now is phenomenal. They're fun. And I'm saying this so that every men's league person listening takes this into their thought process when they're playing men's league. We've been killing everybody, and we've been having fun doing it. Well, the wheels fell off our game like 2 weeks ago. And I'm giving up, like, I literally just gave up a goal on it was basically a 2-on-0, maybe a 3-on-1, if you count the other two coming back. And it was the third guy back that ended up scoring. So I got a good poke check and stopped it. But the third guy back that didn't really get picked up by my defenseman puts the puck in. And my D turns around, and he's like, man, you got to do better than this. I'm like, I got to do better than this? Did you see the poke check? But that's not to be said that I probably might have just given up the first. If I didn't poke check the guy and he shot it, it would probably beat me because I'm better at poke checking than I am at stopping pucks. Evan knows. He's seen it.
Sometimes.
I don't ever forget. My dad and one of our coaches that I had when I was younger, who was a goalie. Paul Skidmore,
who played for the
Golden Eagles, and then he coached my teams when I was younger. But he made it very clear that if the puck made it back to the goalie, five guys were not doing their job.
Right.
Yep. And you know, playing defense at that time, I didn't ever really take into consideration how much that really meant until all of a sudden you're playing goalie.
Right.
That's it's like, now I understand exactly what he means, you know. I've always been that one that I will give everything that I can to try to keep that puck from going in. But as you said, I'm 47 now, so I mean, I can only move so much and so fast. And when, like you say, that third period comes around, sometimes some games are better than others. Some games I'm like, all right, I'm on this. I can handle this. And other games I'm like, oh, how much time is left?
Yep.
What made you switch to a goalie?
I'd always wanted to play goalie growing up. And my mom, even though she had a hockey store, was reluctant to buy me gear because of how fast I grew.
Right,
she's like 6'7" by high school. I guess that was you'd probably go through three sets a year.
Yeah,
that's expensive for anybody.
Yeah, you know, and that's how she felt about it. Was like, nope, you can do this. I mean, it's like I remember when I had to order in shin pads because I kept getting caught in between my shin pad and the tongue of my skate.
Oh yeah,
and that was before people tucked their tongues up behind it and stuff like that. And I remember I had to order in 17-inch shin pads. And that was now the hockey store stocks them. But back then it was an oddity to, you know, are you sure you need these? No, we're going to make these and there's no sending them back. You know, it's like, no, he really needs them.
Well, then too, a lot of times back then, it took 6 weeks to get your gear, and the route the pace you were growing. By the time you got the gear, you just sized up for it wasn't going to last that long. Well, that's great. So we should anticipate Robbie being back goaltending for Weber State
this January semester. Yeah, okay, in January.
He had a tough class load this semester.
Yeah, he really wanted to focus on, he's practicing and doing everything and staying in shape. He's just really wanted to focus on trying to get some hard classes that he had coming down this semester that he had, and the travel schedule that was coming up and his classes. He was taking a compressed load that he was missing, going away. They'd be gone on a Friday and be gone on a Monday for their travel days. And he had, 3 weeks of that were coming up, and he had Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes. And when when you're taking a 2.5 hour class and you miss it, six days 6 days out of 3 weeks and stuff like that, it really takes a toll on it. So I was proud of him, as much as I like to watch him play and everything like that. But I was really proud of him taking the initiative to really fight with it and everything like that. They've got some really good goaltending going on up at Weber State right now, along with him.
Right.
With Kyle Lane and Logan Allam.
Yeah.
They've got some really good goalies. So,
that's good, because we have to keep in mind as parents, too, that this is they're in college. They're not, and they're playing non-varsity, as we call it. And that college part's got to come first. And a lot of times it's good to see Robbie make a grown-up decision and focus on, because that's...
It's a hard decision to make.
Yeah. I would have never made that. I would have taken it.
I didn't make that decision.
I had the utmost respect for it, because I never... For me, it was at that age and stuff like that, it would have been 100% full-blown, nope, this is what I'm doing, hockey, and... end up failing out of school or something like that. And, it just, when he decided to do this, he talked about it and he thought about it for a while and figured it was his best route. And like he says, it's not like it's the end of end of anything. I'm just taking a small break right now so that I can hammer out what I need to get done.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, that makes sense. Well, we're excited to see how Weber does this year, and I can't wait to see Robbie back out there. Yeah. I like watching Kyle and Logan, too. And I've known Logan forever.
Yeah.
Because he's been coming to my camp since I think he was 10 or 11. So it's always fun to watch these kids that I've watched grow up now play these colleges. And now we've got kids I've coached on every college team here, so it's always a little extra special. And Gary, you and I will start, I think, next week doing the weekly updates and
sweet
player of the week for high school. We got that all coming up.
Nice.
Evan, before we go, you got anything else you want to add or any questions you want to ask?
I don't think so. It's just kind of funny. I remember when I moved out to Utah, I think within maybe 2 days, the first thing I wanted to do was find the local hockey shop. And it cracks me up. Sometimes when I skate in the summer, sometimes I'll see someone with the Hockey Haven, the old jersey, and it brings back some good memories.
It does. I got like 8 of those.
I have a hockey.
Had to get different colors.
I have the plastic bag, a Hockey Haven plastic bag that probably had like the first cup I bought. And I just, oh, I like to share that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And I put it in the back of this closet that I have. Now I have like a little stall in my garage, and that's where like all my tape or my extra neat, like the Velcro for the Brian's leg pads are. I keep all that in my Hockey Haven bag. I don't know how that little plastic bag lasted. I guess that's why the environment's falling apart, because that plastic's tough. It's lasted 20-plus years.
I was looking in my bag.
She was thinking of, being able to recycle and things like that and reuse and stuff like that. So, 20-year-old bag, I think, especially plastic bag, she definitely brought the durability one.
I definitely reused it.
I know. I was looking at my wax, for my stick, and I look at the little holder that it's in, and there's probably an inch or so left or whatever, and I look at it and say, Hockey Haven sticker on it.
The price tag.
I don't wax up enough, I guess, over here, but still the Hockey Haven wax.
Well, you got to tell your mom that I'm sorry about using the 1-800 number so often. I don't know.
She wouldn't have cared. She would have told you to turn around and make sure that your girlfriend was down there to turn around and get a phone call from her so that you didn't have to worry about that, because... She knows how hard it was, especially with me being away at boarding school, of how inconvenient and how not easily accessible quarters and stuff like that were for the payphones.
It sucked. And I don't, I don't tell the story very often, but when I had a girlfriend here when I was at Shattuck, and I didn't have a payphone in the dorm that I lived in Shattuck, so I had to sneak over to the other dorm, and so it's like back, it was like prison, because you had everybody waiting their turn for the two payphones that they had in the bottom of one dorm, because we had like three dorms worth of people, and you had like, obviously they're trying to keep pretty tight grips on the kids back then, but I don't know. Yeah. It's because it's a lot. It's a roll of quarters, 3.5 minutes probably worth of conversation.
They should still have that around, you know, just so the kids can learn.
I agree.
Keep it in perspective.
Kids have no idea. You know, kids have no idea how bad it was. Because when you moved, you were gone. You couldn't check their Facebook or text them or whatever. You were gone.
Yeah.
You had zero contact unless everybody had a hockey haven with a 1-800 number.
I remember the very first time I went to a hockey camp in Maine by myself when I was probably like 15. I kept trying to call collect to my house, and these people kept denying my call. And I started to get really heated about it and everything like that. And finally, I'm talking to the operator, and I'm arguing, saying, I've lived in this house for 9 years of my life, you know, because I was 15, so right. I'd only lived there for 9 years that time. And she's like, well, what state? And I'm like, Utah. And she goes, well, if you dialed the area code. What's the area code?
What's an area code?
I just thought I'd put in the phone number and it was going to pull up my house. You know?
Well, I'm sorry that your mom couldn't be on the show, but I want you to get her
another time.
Yeah, that would be awesome, because I want her to know, and I want your dad to know as well. And I feel bad that I keep saying your mom and not your dad, because I know they're both so influential and put so much of their time, effort, and money into hockey in this market. And they don't hear it enough. However often they hear it, they don't hear it enough. But I want, for every hockey player that's out here from Utah right now, we owe your family thanks. I want you to tell them for all of us.
I definitely will. Thank you very much.
Because it means a lot to us to have had those resources. And you don't realize it when you're a kid growing up, what they're going through, what they're sacrificing. But now as other part of it, where we're trying to give back, like, you realize that they did a lot.
Yeah.
And they did way more than most, and I hope everybody thanks them and appreciates it, and I hope they know that it's appreciated, and I hope they see the growth that's here and realize that they had a huge part in it.
Well, yeah. I will make sure that they know. I mean, I'm sure that they realize a little bit, but, I mean, it's always very nice to hear from them, so thank you very much.
Awesome. And then hopefully your dad keeps holding everybody's feet to the fire and keeps everybody,
yeah,
keeps everybody
nice.
In line. Because it seemed to have fixed some problems over there, so.
Well, maybe you gave him some outside perspective that they needed.
Yeah, and your dad's a big, like, sponsor. I'm trying to choose my terminology so I don't get any trouble.
Very good.
But Jenner Distribution's a big sponsor of hockey in that building, and he definitely had some power when he was talking. And
yeah.
It put everybody's tail between their legs, and I was like, yes, it's about time. So anyway.
That's great.
Again, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time for being on the show.
Thanks for having me out.
Evan, thanks for bringing all your knowledge.
Thanks for having me again.
Gary, it's good to see you.
Hey, thanks, man. Good to be seen.
And that's the end of the Utah Puck Report.